Hey guys, welcome to The Pursuit of Wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal and each week I talk to wellness experts and enthusiasts to extract key information that we can use to get holistically healthy. On this episode, my guest is Neha Bedi, who's a fitness enthusiast who is certified in Krav Maga. She's an ex-media professional and the daughter of Indian cricketing legend Bishan Singh Bedi. We spoke about her amazing transformation through exercise, nutrition, and dedication, and what it takes to successfully lose weight through keto. My personal takeaways were that to have an even higher chance of losing weight through a diet like keto, it's better if you cook your own meals and take an interest in what you eat. Also, you must research what you are consuming, as many keto-friendly products are only advertised that way and may not actually be what they claim. If you're new to the show, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube or any podcast app that you use. It would really go a long way in helping the show grow. The Pursuit of Wellness is a Muncha Media production. You can find out more on munchamedia.com. You can also follow us on @MunchaPodcasts on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or you could follow me on @KabirUppal on all social media. Before we jump to the episode, I want to mention our sponsor, Tego. Tego is premium gear for the modern everyday athlete. They create products using emerging materials and textile technology that feel good when you are at your sweatiest best. And I have to say, Tego really knows what they're doing, guys. Right now, I'm wearing their Sweat Charge t-shirt, which is a really cool product. It's a performance shirt that reveals a message only when you sweat. Personally, I love it because it gives me that extra push to go even harder in the gym. So whether it's a grueling workout or a long-ass flight, check out Tego. You can find out more at tego.fit/tpow. That's tego.fit/tpow. And with that, let's jump right into my episode with Neha. I hope you enjoy it. Hey Neha, welcome to the show.
Thanks Kabir, thanks for having me over.
I'm really excited to have you here and you know, we've been talking about a lot of this in the gym and I'm so excited for you to be here and telling our listeners as well. So we've already given our audience a little bit of an introduction about you, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words?
Since I was young, I've always been a sporty kid. I come from a sporting background. Cricket and fitness is in my DNA. So my brother is heavily into fitness and I've seen, you know, it just runs in my family. I've dabbled a little bit in table tennis and swimming, and I've done a P2 level of certification of Krav Maga as well. So yes, it's been around. I've been in it and you know, it's never left me as such.
Great. Yeah. And where did this journey kind of begin for you? You know, how did you start really getting into it personally as opposed to, you know, something that's been around you?
So before this, I was working with a news channel. I was a news presenter and I had long hours coupled with unhealthy eating and just, you know, sitting around on your desk. As a result, slowly you put on a lot of weight, you don't realize it, but it just sort of keeps adding on. After which I got married, I had a baby, that weight stuck around and it became even more. Finally, I decided to, you know, get rid of it for good, and which is what I've done.
So that was the little push you required.
Yes, that
back in
that little push, the little push that I required was when I saw myself in the mirror one day, and I was dressed. I just realized that no amounts of makeup and good clothes can make you look good if you don't feel good inside. So till that disgust of yourself, about yourself, doesn't come from within you, you will not get that push to get up and start.
Yeah, everybody needs that moment.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So jumping into what we're here to talk about, you know, we've been talking a lot about your knowledge of keto, your implementation of keto in your own life. So why don't we, you know, get into that? Tell us a little bit about, you know, how you look at keto. Describe the keto diet in your own words.
A keto diet is fantastic to lose the, you know, the weight that has just been stuck around. I've been on keto for the last 3 months now, three and a half months. I've lost a total of about 10 kilos. And it's been a great diet for me to follow because I'm a proper non-vegetarian. I love my, non-veg meals and all of that. So it's been very simple for me to follow also because I cook these keto meals by myself. I know how much fat and how much carbs, how much protein that goes into each meal. So it's as such, it's been like a cakewalk for me.
Awesome. So yeah. In terms of why you got into this specific diet or, you know, why you gave this a shot is because the friction was less.
The friction was less. Also, I've been on intermittent fasting for about 2.5 years. With intermittent fasting, I lost a considerable amount of weight. It's just that I reached a plateau where I think my body needed a shock once more. Yeah. So I switched to keto coupled with intermittent fasting. So if you are fasting with keto, the process of ketosis is faster, basically.
Interesting. And yeah. It's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, a lot of people talk about shocking your body with a different type of workout.
Yeah.
But do you think the same holds true for nutrition and diet as well, that your body gets used to a particular diet and therefore you need to change it to have have considerable changes?
I think so. I think if you're so primarily if you're trying to lose weight, the calorie deficit should be there. If you're eating a bit too much and just, you know, working out also too much, that, I mean, your body's not going to sort of achieve any results. Yeah. So I think the calorie deficit needs to be there. That's what happened with intermittent fasting and my body type.
Yeah.
So it gave me fantastic results.
Awesome. And Tell us a little bit about some of the basic principles of keto as you see them. You know, what is your understanding of some foundational stuff that people need to keep in mind?
Okay. So one thing that people need to keep in mind is that keto is a high fat, medium protein and an extremely low to no carb diet. It is not a high fat and a high protein diet at all. So your fats, which are healthy fats like avocados and nuts and olive oil, MCT oil, they need to be higher. And your protein intake needs to be medium and your carb intake needs to be negligible. So that's what I think people need to keep in mind even when they go for keto meals, when they opt for keto meals, or if they choose to make it themselves, they shouldn't get the whole ratio mixed up.
Okay, so keeping that those proportions and ratios is very important.
Yeah.
What are some other basic principles? And on top of that, you know, how does one go about making sure that these ratios are maintained? Is there like particular weighing standards or is there like a framework people can use to make sure that they're adhering to these ratios?
No, I think you come to know by yourself. It's a trial and error method that you can do. I follow a lot of these Instagram handles which make keto meals, which tell you how to go about the whole thing. You need to know which vegetables are high in carbs. You need to know that grains are high in carbs. So you need to know pulses and legumes are high in carbs.
Yeah.
You need to avoid all of that. So that's just like a thumb rule. Like I said, if you like to cook and if you like to eat, you will know about nutrition yourself. You will know what is good for you and you will know what is bad for you. So just keep that sort of a thing in mind. Read up about what is keto before you actually get into it. Read up about what all do you need to buy, what all do you need to stock up. And because most of the fats are not readily available, they're not easily available here. So you need to stock up on all of that before you even start.
Okay, so maybe another principle is that you need to be invested and committed and therefore, you know, kind of inform yourself as much as you can.
Yes, and there are no cheat meals in keto. Let me just put it out there because there's absolutely no single cheat meal in keto. If you're in ketosis and you're following the proper diet, you have to do it day in and day out.
Yeah, discipline is another thing that is huge.
Yes.
Awesome. And, you know, what kind of successes, you know, you had mentioned that you've had significant amount of success with intermittent fasting.
Yes.
With keto, what is the success that you've seen? And in terms of, you know, your knowledge of the space, obviously, you've done a lot of research and you've informed yourself about this.
Yeah.
What are some things that, you know?
So initially, it takes your body about a week, 10 days to get into ketosis, especially if you've not done it properly. If you've not done it ever, in fact. And when you deprive your body of carbs, basically from your wheat and your gluten and your breads and your rice and all of that, it just goes into a shock where your energy levels dip. So when I was working out the first week of when I was in doing keto, I had really low energy levels. I had, I just didn't like it. No amounts of coffee can make you feel good. But that initial week is a bit tough. After that, it's just smooth sailing when your body becomes used to it. So you end up losing a lot of weight and you end up losing weight rapidly, you know, which is quite good.
So if somebody does have some issues, whether it's, you know, low energy or being irritable easily, you know, what are some things? Is it just you just got to power through it?
I think
right?
You just suck it up and just power through. That's
good
about
enough.
It.
Good enough. And,
yeah.
You know, so what, besides the, you know, obvious, you know, change in energy levels, what are other things that you faced while being on the keto diet that people should know about before getting into it?
The keto diet is expensive because when you buy fats, they're not very cheap. So if you go out to buy a good MCT oil or olive oil, or if you go out to buy, you know, hard cheeses, or if you go out to buy, let's say, bacon or salmon, this is not what you eat on an everyday basis. And it is expensive, you know. So just keeping that in mind, it is very easy to follow if you're a non-vegetarian, like I've said before. But it is, I don't know. A lot of people say that it is not. In the West, all these things are readily available at, you know, much cheaper rates. So keto is obviously, it's fine over there. But over here, because these fats are not easily available and they are expensive, so it's an expensive diet to follow.
So do you think that would change, say, in a couple of years, maybe, you know, as more and more brands, Indian brands are coming in?
Yes, totally. In fact, when I was on keto, I used to buy Indian avocados, which are cheaper than imported avocados, you know. So because avocado is an essential part of being on keto, keto. So I think if more brands, and slowly the awareness is coming that keto is a new thing. So there's keto ice cream, there is keto foods available at supermarkets, and you know, there's keto friendly options available now. So I mean I completely understand there should be. And if there's so many options available, I think more people will end up going for it.
Yeah.
You know, as a diet to follow.
Awesome. So we'll jump into, you know, the talk about what is keto friendly and, you know, what are products that some people need to be able to evaluate correctly. But what are some things that have been essential on your keto journey? You know, what are some things in terms of foods that you like the most? You know, some tips in terms of how you do your meal prep. Are there some hacks? Do you do it all at once, or do you kind of space it out based on, you know, whenever you're available?
Basically, I read up a lot before I got in touch with this keto diet thing. I read up on the carbs that are good for you, on the vegetables that are low in carbs, on good fats and stuff that are essential in the keto diet. So I had to give up a lot of even potatoes, carrots. These are not keto friendly, so you have to give all of that up. You have to basically go and buy a lot of, let's say, avocados, like I was mentioning avocados. You have to buy MCT oil, you have to buy a lot of coconut oil, you have to buy white butter, which you make in your bulletproof coffee. And you have to buy low carb vegetables like zucchini, asparagus. So, you know, you have to think about, even low carb vegetables still have carbs, so you have to keep that carb content also low. It's not like you can just eat any amounts of low carb vegetables.
And like, what are some of the ways that, you know, what are your favorite things to cook on this keto diet? Since you do so much of the preparation yourself, what are your favorite go-to meals, and what are some things that
My favorite go-to meals are, one thing that has always been my favorite and my comfort food is bacon and cheese. So I think that's something that I love making.
And it's nice that it fits into the keto diet.
Yes, and it's amazing that you're allowed bacon and cheese. The other thing is eggs and mozzarella. Again, that's allowed. I'm a big cheese person, cheese and olives. So that again is allowed.
I'm a huge olive fan too.
Yeah. So that again is allowed. You can have a variety of, you know, low carb vegetables like asparagus, there's lettuce, there is beans, there's a lot of Indian vegetables, karela, there's lauki. All these are low carb vegetable options that you can do on keto.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's also talk a little bit about bulletproof coffee. There's a lot of, you know, there's, I remember when it came out, there was a lot of data coming out about it. There was a lot of people that were writing about it and a lot of hype around it. Is it something that has worked well for you? And is, you know, how does that play a role in your keto diet?
It's worked phenomenally for me because every morning I used to get up and I used to make my own bulletproof coffee. I bought a coffee frother from Amazon just to make it, you know, just to make the coffee look good. And basically it's made with white butter and MCT oil and coffee. You can add cream, which is optional. I didn't add cream to mine, so I just added black. It keeps you fuller for a long time. You can use it as a pre-workout. You can use it as a meal replacement. You can use it right before the gym, like I used to do. And it just keeps you going because there's fats in it. There's that coffee in it to give you that kick. So it just keeps you full. Like your mind does not go to when you're getting bored and you want to do that, let's open the fridge and see what's there. You won't do that if your stomach is already full.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how, you know, for people that are very passionate about their coffee, like I am, you know, what is the expectation of it with regular coffee? Like, how is it different in terms of taste and, you know, post consumption feeling?
Well, if you consume bulletproof coffee, it feels like you've had a whole meal. Because it is, it has oil in it. It has butter in it. Either you can use white butter or you can use ghee. I used to use ghee as well. So if you have all of that fat into your body, even if it is blended into coffee and you add cream to it as well, it'll actually make you feel like you've had one whole meal, you know, so you won't feel very hungry at all.
Awesome. And what is like the spacing of meals? Like, how often do you eat on the keto diet, and how does it kind of, how do you time it with, you know, in terms of your workout, in terms of going out, or in terms of other things that you're doing?
So, I have only two meals in a day and I continue to do so. My main meals are breakfast and lunch. I finish my meal intake by latest by 2:30 or 3 p.m.
Oh, wow.
I don't eat anything after that. So my keto was basically coupled with intermittent fasting. So you have a good enough fasting period. If you fast during keto, the ketones are released in your body at a faster rate. So it just speeds up the process of fat burning in your body. So that is my lunch is my main meal, which is post workout.
And then after that is next day breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So would you say that somebody who is looking for, say, a drastic long-term change, that they should potentially think about pairing this up with intermittent fasting?
I completely agree with that.
Awesome. Yes. Great. Yes. I think that's a great insight.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about how this affects your lifestyle. You know, we're all young. We have a lot of friends. We like to go out. We're social animals in general, right?
The thing is that I get this question comes to me almost like,
I'm sure.
Yes. Because each friend is bouncing this question off me. Like, you don't have a social life or whatever. But I do. I mean, I do end up going out. You're allowed alcohol on keto, but you're allowed like neat alcohol, not mixed with any sugary syrups or whatever.
So only spirits? Do you only have spirits?
Yeah. But I don't drink.
Okay.
Because if you do drink, it slows down your, even though it increases ketones in your body, it does slow down the weight loss process.
Interesting. So how exactly does that do
that? So alcohol, neat alcohol increases the ketones which are produced in your body, but the weight loss slows down. That's the tricky part.
Okay.
So you can have it without, I mean, if you want a drink, you can go out and have a drink, but without feeling that, you know, you've cheated or whatever. So alcohol is allowed. I don't have it because I don't drink.
Yeah.
So I just stay off alcohol.
And what about, you know, a lot of, when I was, you know, creating content in the fitness space before, a lot of people would talk about how, the carbs that are in alcohol do nothing for your body. Does that also
have? You mean
have,
empty carbs?
Yeah, empty carbs. Do they have an adverse effect beyond, you know, slowing down the workout process, the weight loss process?
Well, you know, I think as you get older, your body's ability to, let's say, absorb all that alcohol and absorb it efficiently and, for you to be fresh the next day, I think it sort of slows down. And I think not only with me, it happens with everybody.
Yeah.
So
that's when I was younger. That also depends on how many shots you do.
Yeah. So when I was younger and we used to go out and party a lot and there was a fair amount of alcohol involved, I would not feel that bad when I got up the next day and my whole breakfast was with eggs and, you know, so it absorbs a decent amount of alcohol from your body as well.
Yeah.
But if you expect me to do the same thing now, I absolutely cannot do it because it ruins your next day. At least it ruins my next day because I can't focus. You're sleepy, you're groggy the entire day, you know. So I just feel that alcohol coupled with, if you want to do a diet and you want to lose weight, you want to feel good about yourself, just stay off alcohol. That's what
good
I would
to
suggest.
Know. Good to know. If you want long-term benefits actual results quickly, then.
Yeah.
And how does your workout kind of fit into this? You know, a lot of people I know, because we work out together, you're usually in the gym around 10, 11 in the morning till about 12 or 1.
Yeah.
You know, for people that don't have that period of time or that window of time available to them that have to go to work or have other commitments, you know, what is the best time to work out? Is there an adverse effect of working out really early in the morning or really late after
work? So, basically you should do a fasted workout where your body is fasting and you go for, let's say, a workout or a run or something, because it does speed up again the process of fat burning in your body.
Mm-hmm.
I do it on alternate days when I'm not taking my personal training, then I do it on alternate days. I still do it.
Okay.
People can fit this sort of schedule, fit their fitness, whatever they want to do it. So, if you want to go on to a keto diet, you don't necessarily have to go to the gym to lose weight. You can be on a keto diet and lose massive amounts of weight without going to the gym.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people doing that.
Yes,
but the gym probably does help a lot.
The gym helps. So, like I said, it's when it comes to diet and nutrition and exercise, there are so many misconceptions about it because people are just, you know, the other day I overheard some trainer telling another client that you can eat whatever you want and just come and just exercise for 2 hours in a day and, you know, you'll be fine. And that is like the biggest myth in fitness. I mean, if you want to get into shape, you definitely cannot eat whatever you want. You know, you cannot just keep on putting crap into your system and expect the exercise to work. You cannot, so you have, in 23 hours in a day, if you're with yourself and you're putting crap into your system and then you go and scream at your personal trainer that you're not losing weight.
Not his fault.
It's not his fault.
Yeah.
Because I've seen these conversations taking place. Ki, you know, my personal trainer is not let, sort of, there's no, कुछ असर नहीं हो रहा मेरे ऊपर
एंड
देयर आर नो रिजल्ट्स एंड देयर नो कट्स एंड आप मुझे ठीक से वर्कआउट नहीं करा रहे हैं एंड यू नो द पर्सनल ट्रेनर दैट इज विट्स एंड लाइक व्हाट एल्स यू वांट मी टू मेक यू डू बिकॉज़ यू आर बिंज ड्रिंकिंग यू आर ईटिंग यू नो स्वीट्स यू आर ईटिंग आउट यू आर ईटिंग जंक फूड सो ही इज लाइक व्हाट डू यू वांट मी टू डू आई मीन आई कांट कम एंड जिप योर माउथ इट्स अ लाइफस्टाइल कमिटमेंट एंड इट्स अ लाइफस्टाइल चेंज सो यू नो यू हैव टू बी विलिंग टू लीव ऑल ऑफ दैट बिहाइंड यू इफ यू वांट टू डू ऑल ऑफ दिस
एंड लाइक इन टर्म्स ऑफ यू नो यू सेड यू अल्टरनेट योर वर्कआउट्स as well. Like, is there a difference in your energy level when you're doing it, say, and you know, the breakfast, you said your breakfast and lunch are the two meals that you do, and you kind of go for your workout between that period, right? So how much time gap are you giving between finishing breakfast and then going for your workout?
So about 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, about 2 hours. And then I have my first meal and then I go for a workout. And then I come back and I give it another about 40 minutes, and then I have my lunch.
Okay. And is there a difference in energy levels or effects based on if you do it in the morning or in the evening?
See, I think all workouts should be done. If there is a choice, do it in the morning and get it over with. Because your body has that energy. You've just woken up. You're refreshed. By the end of the day, which is normally even, people work out 9 to 10 in the night as well, or maybe 10 to 11. I don't understand that, because see, we are not nocturnal creatures. We there's a body clock for a reason. If we get up, we are fresh. I think you should use that energy that you have, go and work out, because your entire day then goes well. You know, you have good levels of energy. Your mood is pleasant. You are less anxious. You're less stressed. If you do that towards the end of the evening after your work, then it just doesn't work. Like, you won't get the same results.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think personally for me also, if I've said to myself 10 times, ki aaj shaam ko workout karunga, it's happened once.
Exactly.
Maybe, you know,
exactly.
I think there's your ability to create excuses becomes more and more towards the end of the day.
Yeah.
So jumping into some of the things that are available in the market, right? As opposed to say, you know, cooking everything yourself and being very, very knowledgeable in terms of, you know, what you're putting into your body and making sure that you're preparing everything so that you have full control. A lot of people may not have the interest or the time, or they don't make time. And there's, again, more friction when it comes to ki theek hai khud banana hai, right?
Yes.
So do you think, you know, what is out there? Tell us a little bit about what's out there right now, and how do you go about evaluating what will be helpful for your keto diet and what is, you know, detrimental to it?
Okay, so I've, with keto and with intermittent fasting for the last 3 years, I've become sort of a in-house nutrition expert myself. I've not done any, let me just put it out there, I've not done any sort of nutrition course or any dietary course that I need to, but I know what I'm putting into my body because it's getting me results. There are a lot of keto options available out there which are keto friendly, termed as keto friendly. You can go to big sort of supermarkets and they'll be there. They're not necessarily keto friendly, not necessarily means it's keto.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to exceed a level of grams per day. You're not supposed to exceed a level of protein per day. So if it's just like it says it's a nutrition bar, or let's say a protein bar, which is keto friendly, you have to read the nutritional information of anything that you purchase, and don't purchase anything that does not have like a nutritional information attached to it.
Yeah. Isn't it illegal to not have that? If you don't have that, are they allowed to actually put the product out?
There, I have seen a lot of places where there's no nutrition information.
Oh, wow.
It's just in a plastic sort of a
packaging.
A lot of these people who make their in-house stuff do not have nutritional information on it.
Yeah.
Like if you make
they haven't put the effort into actually getting it.
So if
it
you
done.
Make your own pesto, and if you make your own cheese, if you make your own hummus, you don't put nutritional information on it if it's in-house. But if it's but if somebody else is doing it, or and if you're stocking their stuff, you'll see per 100 grams the carbs, you'll see per 100 grams the saturated fat, you'll see what fat there is. So it makes sense to go with that.
And you know, in terms of some things that you're seeing out there, are there some good ways for people to, obviously, you know, reading up, but are there things that they should stay clear away from in terms of, you know, if you see this particular you know, ingredient, that this is definitely not keto friendly?
So I know a lot of people who think that honey is keto friendly. Honey is not keto friendly at all. Even if you make it, if you make brownies or whatever with honey, and you say that you have used almond flour instead of the regular flour, and you're making keto brownies, that's not keto, basically.
So what would be a substitute?
So erythritol or stevia, basically, you can use for making keto brownies.
That's a sweetener.
Again, that's what I'm saying. So people have a fair enough idea. I think the whole term keto is a bit sort of, it sounds nice.
It's become a marketing buzzword.
So everything that is labeled keto is not necessarily keto. You just use your brains.
Yeah.
So I can see through this stuff. I can see through the packaging. I can see through the contents. And if it's too frills and fancy, then it is definitely not keto.
And again, this has come from, you know, informing yourself and making sure that you know.
Yes. So I went, one of my biggest, information, sources was this book by Dave Asprey called, The Bulletproof Diet.
Yeah.
And I think anybody who wants to be on the keto diet should be reading this book.
Awesome. So that's just a good foundation.
Yes. And also before you decide to get into keto, my advice would be read up as much as you can.
Yeah.
Don't go by word of mouth because, the internet has a fair amount of information on what is good and what is keto, what isn't keto. Slowly you'll get the hang of it. So let's say if you any food question that you have in mind is a peanuts keto, you can just put it in Google, a peanuts keto, and you get the answers. You know,
absolutely.
So don't sort of ask somebody, or just don't ask your personal trainer. Maybe your personal trainer has never done keto before, so he doesn't know what is keto, what isn't keto. So somebody who's done it will be able to tell you, and this book is of great help.
Awesome. And we'll touch on some more resources in our next and final segment.
Yes.
But also, you know, just going back to the lifestyle bit of it, you know, how do you, when you go out to eat, do you just not eat then? Or if you're meeting somebody for breakfast or for lunch, what is your process of maybe evaluating?
No, so I have reached that level where I know when food is on the table, what I can eat, what I cannot eat. Even if I'm going out, if I'm going to a restaurant, if I'm going, and I love eating out, I love food. But if whatever there is in front of me, I will instantly know whether it is keto, whether it is not keto, whether it is good for me or it isn't. So let's say in Indian food, I love chicken. So if I go out and I love chicken and kebabs, so I'll just order chicken malai tikka without batting an eyelid, that has fats and protein mixed in it, and no
everything
carbs.
You need, yeah.
Yeah. So that's like a meal in itself. You can order salmon, you can order fish, you can order, you know, as long as it comes with, you cannot have mashed potatoes at all. Let's just, you know, the side, that side dish needs to be removed.
Yeah.
And you can have your veggies, you can have your broccoli, your Brussels sprouts, everything. All of this is keto.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Great. I think that was some great information in terms of, you know, what is possible for people to consume on the diet.
Yeah.
So moving into our last segment here, you know, this is something that we're doing with all of our guests to get an understanding of, you know, who are the people that they're inspired by, or who are the people that are giving them information. You mentioned that, you know, the book, The Bulletproof Diet. What are some other resources that, or blogs that you've read, or some other people that you talk to that have given you the right information about keto?
So I follow this hashtag keto on Instagram. That has been my most helpful, after this book, that's been my most helpful resource, because they have like a variety of keto meals, you know, that people are doing across the world. You have shrimp and cream, you have like various amounts of high fat, medium protein diets, and people will tell you the way to make it. They'll show you the ingredients in it, the recipe. So that has been one of my main resources when it comes to putting what I'm putting inside my body.
Yeah.
And it's worked.
Yeah. Awesome. Who would you like to potentially hear on our podcast?
I would like to hear three people. One of them is Virat Kohli, because I love his, I'm very inspired by, I know that's a long shot.
I mean, but I hope we can make that happen one day, really.
Because I'm very inspired by his fitness journey, and from where he started to what he's become.
Yeah, he's one of the most, he's the fittest, probably the fittest cricketer.
He's the fittest cricketer. He's got the fitness level of an international footballer. So he's I mean, from where he started to where he's come now, when it comes to his, again, that's not possible if you don't have the right diet. So I want to hear more about what he eats in a day. I want to hear more about what he does in a day, how he works out, because he's an endurance athlete.
Yeah.
And I love hearing about, you know, motivational stories like these. The other person who I love listening to when I follow is Chris Gethin on Instagram. I like looking at his videos.
Yeah, international fitness rock star, pretty
much. And I like the way he puts emphasis on a form of whatever you're doing, and it has to be slow and deliberate. As opposed to whatever I see people doing in the gym.
Masloha uthane.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not the way a workout is supposed to be done. I'm also very fortunate to be training under somebody who puts a lot of emphasis on my form, and puts a lot of emphasis on the slow movement of a particular exercise rather than just doing it mindlessly, you know.
Yeah.
So he's very good. And the other person who I'd like to see is Bani J.
She's also very
this
fit.
Bollywood actor,
yeah,
because I think she's very fit. She's put in a lot into her body. She's put in a lot of effort, and you know, she's I would like to see what she does.
Awesome.
What she
well,
eats.
I really hope that we can get all three of these people on our show. That would be great for us. And, you know, all of the information about, the sources that, Neha uses and the people that we could potentially get on our podcast will all be on the show notes. Just to kind of wrap this up, you know, any closing thoughts for people that are thinking about keto or that are on keto that might be struggling?
I have a lot of people who are on keto, who are struggling with keto, who've given up keto, who don't want to do keto again, who are just like, you know, up in arms with keto. Just give it time. Anything that is, that has to work will take time. So whether you have to lose weight, whether you have to get fit, it's taken me 3 years to lose about 40 odd kilos and it's not been easy, but I've still been at it. So anybody who's trying to not just keto, but even if it is intermittent fasting, even if you follow your own ghar ka dietitian or you're paying somebody to, you know, give you a diet and you're following that, just be patient.
No quick That's results.
All. There is no quick results. There's nothing called as spot reduction ki mere pet se bas mere ko bata do mera pet kaise andar karna hai aur meri legs kaise choti ho jaye. They don't make sense. None of these questions make sense. So please stop asking your trainer or even wondering why these questions exist. Because anything that is worthwhile takes time. So you have to just be patient.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So discipline, investment of time and effort and knowledge and obviously patience.
Discipline and patience.
Yeah.
And just keep yourself abreast with the, you know, don't be ignorant about a particular diet because there's a blog. Can I see
the name?
Yeah,
of course.
Okay. So there's a blog on Facebook, blog or I think a page called Fit and Fabulous. I'm a part of that. And I get a lot of these very amusing sort of questions where people have these discussions and they almost end up fighting. So the latest discussion was, is a keto diet good? And will it give me instant results? And there were these hordes of women who probably not even tried keto and they were just like dissing it, that it does this to your body, does that to your body, and it is not good and you should not do it. It's a fad diet. It's a quick way to lose weight. You put all the weight back on. You do all sorts of things and whatever. So, you know, again, ignorance, this is what ignorance is. So if you're not well informed, this is your biggest battle. I mean, if you're ignorant, you have to fight this battle on your own. Just be well informed. That's about it. Because there's so many resources that you can, you know, open yourself up to. And if you keep an open mind, just keep information coming in, I think anything can work for you. And there are no sort of shortcuts to whatever you want. You know, when I was on keto, after I finished keto, I got my blood test results and all of that done just to prove to myself that
there is a difference.
There is a difference. Yes. Yeah. And everything was fine. Like I don't need grains in my body to keep myself going. I don't need dals or legumes to keep myself growing because I come from a Punjabi household. So dal is our main source of, you know, nutrition.
Yeah.
And I've had to give it up, but I'm okay with it now. You know, I don't miss it as such. So that's about it. So just keep yourself well informed, give it time, and I think it'll work.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think, you know, this has been super helpful. I've learned a lot about keto while chatting with you and on this episode as well. And you know, for our listeners that might have more questions or want to follow your journey, where's some places that they can potentially get in touch with you?
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. So you can send me a direct message or just interact with me over there.
Awesome.
No problems.
And all of those links will be in our show notes for any of the listeners that want to get in touch with Neha.
Most welcome.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you, Kabir. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. All right, guys. Thanks for watching or listening. We hope you gained something that helps you on your wellness journey. We have some great episodes this season which will help you deep dive into different nutrition and fitness methods, like the one with my friend Shubhajit about becoming a fitness trainer, or the one with Coach Rajneesh, who talks about how to get holistically fitter through boxing. Definitely look out for those. If you liked anything from this episode, please show some love and subscribe or follow us. We'd love for you to be a part of this process, so write to us on our social media @MunchaPodcast or comment on YouTube. Until next time, thanks guys.